Zandvold Financial Group.
Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Katie Pavlich from Fox News joins us in the next hour about 8:35, 8:40 this morning. I'm looking forward to catching up with her. Always enjoy our Thursday chats.
Got a couple of, I think you were probably looking at them too, Drew. Got a couple of tweets here in regards to specifically the chicken pox and the governor. What state was that in again? That was Kentucky governor.
Kentucky governor.
Took his children over to Mildred's next door to get them.
Why is her name Mildred?
Exposed to chicken. Isn't it? It's in the story, isn't it?
You have to ask her mom.
Isn't it? Yeah, Miss Mildred.
Yeah.
They didn't give her a first name. Yeah, Mildred. She has a lot of cats.
Nine kids. Like that little detail of the story got glossed over.
Nine kids.
He exposed all nine. So like
that's like a whole baseball team.
The older you are, the more dangerous the chicken pox can be. So like that first kid has to be at least 12 minimum.
I don't know. If you have
nine kids, you spit out a kid a year, basically.
I knew.
Right?
I don't think that's how it works, Drew.
At the earliest.
I was familiar with a family who I knew the 7-year-old well.
Or fosters or.
I knew a family of eight really well, and the oldest was a 7-year-old. I think they'd had two sets of twins.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're having twins into the mix, then yes, it could. But if they're assuming none of them are twins. Then still 12's a fine age. That's young enough to get chicken pox without too much.
Sam, leave
your poor wife alone, man.
Do you have the story in front of you?
Snip, snip.
Yeah, dude, what?
Can you do just the quick recap on it?
Yeah. So quick recap. We were discussing the story from The Hill with Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin saying that he deliberately exposed his nine children to chicken pox rather than vaccinating them. He said in an interview, "They got the chicken pox on purpose because we found a neighbor that had it, and I went and made sure every one of my kids was exposed to it, and they got it. They had it as children. They were miserable for a few days, and they all turned out fine."
Okay, so this is completely legitimate. I really want the story of how he did it. Like, is he like right. did he really take all nine of them over there, or it seems to make more sense that you pick one,
right?
Have him get it, and then bring that one home. And then they all got to play, you know, Lego together or something.
I feel like if you're going all in on exposing your kids to chicken pox, you're taking all of them over there. They're all giving that kid
so?
A hug.
You don't just get one.
All right, Billy, your turn to lick them.
You get one who's the source and you bring the source home.
No, because I feel like you're not guaranteed enough that kid will pass it along to all the other children.
It diminishes person to person. I want that story, though.
Can you imagine how awful it must have been to just be in their household for those weeks where they all had chicken pox and they're healing from chicken pox? Terrible.
The explanation to the child of what you're about to do.
Daddy, why do I have to play with this person? They're kind of weird.
Why are you trying to get me sick, Daddy?
Come on. Daddy, why?
I can see the look of consternation on Drew's face because I know, but it's just, I get it. This is all surface level just perception, right? I know that there isn't that big of a deal, and the tweets say that. And just be that as it may, that act of giving your child something, I'm sorry, I cannot get past that.
Yeah, look, like I said, it's not uncommon. It used to happen a lot more than it does now.
They had like parties, didn't they?
Yeah.
Chicken pox party! Woo!
Because when you get it as a kid, it's, you know, on the degree of things that could be a big deal, it's on the lower end of that scale.
So, like,
and it's good to get it out of the way when you're young, and then you're vaccinated against it. Someone else tweeted, anecdotally, there is a hypothesis that having chickenpox helps guard against smallpox, but that's just anecdotal. But I don't know how much truth there is.
They say take a breath and relax.
Yes.
There's another tweet here. Pre-chickenpox vaccine, that is how we got immunity. When kids would get chickenpox during the annual infection.
The
neighbor's kids would visit to get exposed, get chickenpox, and be immune.
Sounds like a block party. It's annual infection week. Everybody, come on, let's all get infected.
Hey, do either of you guys know why they call it chicken pox? I'm just wondering. I
feel like I've heard the story before, but I don't know.
I'm wondering if the backstory is started with the parties and it just turned out that chicken's what they served.
I'm sorry, I was answering phone calls, so I came into this.
Well, I was wondering why they call it chicken pox, and we were talking about how back in the days of yore, we wanted to know if they actually had like parties to get kids exposed to it, and I'm wondering if it was just pox, but the parties usually involved chicken, So they just ended up calling it chicken pox when they gave their kids the disease.
I mean, it kind of looks like if a chicken were to bite you, you know.
Okay, Drew, are you looking at why they call it chicken pox?
Yep.
Because I was always confused. When I was a kid, I did, legitimately. When I was a kid, I thought that chicken pox had something to do with chickens.
Did you have chicken?
How the term chicken pox originated is not clear.
I said chicken.
How the term chicken pox originated is not clear, but it may be due to it being a relatively mild disease. It has said to have been derived from chickpeas based on resemblance of the vesicles, the little bumps you get, to chickpeas, or to come from the rash resembling chicken pecks.
Oh, so it called like it! You
got, oh, no, you're both wrong. I got another version here. The whole reason why it goes back to it being a mild disease, they called the children chicken who were afraid to get it.
Katie in New Hope, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to let you know that there are people that actually, when their kids get chicken pox, they actually have them like stuck on lollipops and then they sell them on eBay.
Oh my gosh. Just stop.
Okay, that.
Just stop. Stop. No, Katie, I want to say, no, that's
here,
not right.
Here, Timmy, eat this lollipop.
You'd think eBay would like crack down on it. Like, you shouldn't be able to sell infectious diseases via eBay.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks, Katie.
You don't know what you're exposing your child to.
Hold on. Wait, though. I'm gonna go buy like a gross of Dum Dums and just call them chicken pox pops and see how much money I can make.
Oh, there you go.
What do you mean it didn't work? Yeah. You better buy another.
No guarantees.
Yeah. You're gonna have to have a pox guarantee on that.
You better buy another though. Yeah. This one will be a bit more effective. Lance in Minneapolis.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say, Drew, I agree with you about the chicken pox thing, that it's not that big of a deal that they're making it out to be. And I wanted to say is when we were kids, my mom gave us a gumball that everyone sucked on, and we all ended up getting chicken pox. We only had it once in our lifetime, and we were really young, between 5 and 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I've never had it ever since. And to me as a kid, I mean, it never bothered me. I'm like, Mom, I'm kind of glad you did this because now we don't ever have to worry about having chicken pox again. But all these stupid vaccines that they want to mandate and all this crap that they're pushing towards, and you know what? We got a problem with illegals running across the border. What are we going to do? Mandate that they get vaccines too? I mean, it's actually stupid. You know, that's kind of on a different subject, but you don't need to have a vaccine for something to be healthy, and your body will take care of a lot of the stuff, fight it off on its own, and chicken pox is an example right there.
Yep,
so I don't see the problem with it. And I support the guy, what he did. It's just that he kind of waited at a older age to have his kids. You know, I'll get chicken pox. I wouldn't do that at 12. But, you know, I still support him. I don't think it's a big deal.
Thanks for
I don't do the flu vaccine, and I never get the flu. I eat a lot of salad. Sure.
Thanks for the thanks for the call, Lance. We appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just to be clear, you can get chickenpox more than once. It's not super common, but you can do it. And it also can be reactivated later in life shingles.
That is accurate.
So enjoy your shingles, Lance.
No.
I'm just saying.
Well, what do you think? Getting the vaccine doesn't make you immune from getting chickenpox?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not what I'm saying. It's just when people are like...
For the vast majority of people, once you get chickenpox one time, you're not going to get it again. And if you get it at a young age, it's not that dangerous. Sure.
Right.
It just drives me crazy when people are like, you can only get it once and I'm safe for life.
Here's where I'm landing on this. Because of what you just said, because it's not very dangerous, if that's the case, then just let it happen naturally. Right? That's where I land. It's like, if it isn't that big of a deal, okay, then just if your kids are going to get it, then they end up getting it. Just let it happen if it happens and deal with it when it happens. The world that we live in where people are selling tainted lollipops.
That's bizarre.
Right? In one breath, and yet every Halloween we're freaking out over children's candy and what it may or may not have been exposed to. I think just don't force it on your kid. If your kid gets it, don't freak out. Treat it, but let's not start giving them, you know, leftover
gobstoppers. That's gross. Sarah in Andover, good morning.
Good morning. I just have a comment about this shenanigans and how it's not so benign because, you know, we can talk about, they used to, but they used to were much less virulent strains. So
true.
Your reactions were less. Like when I was a kid, I had it But the real problem is that once you have the chicken pox, you can get shingles as an adult, which is very painful and can be very deadly.
Yeah. Now, does getting the chicken pox vaccine diminish your chances of getting shingles as an adult?
Yes. No, you can't get it.
Okay. All right.
So intentionally exposing your children to chicken pox means that they can get shingles later in life, which is a big, big deal.
All right. Thanks for your call, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. No, look, I'm pro-vaccine. I believe in the efficacy and safety of vaccines.
Yeah, me too.
I understand that they are not 100% safe. Nothing is. But the vast majority of people and the more people that get vaccinated, the less chance people who don't get vaccinated have of getting these diseases, and chickenpox included. That being said, I'm not in favor of the federal government mandating vaccines for all kids because government was always moving slower. I'm much more a fan of awareness campaigns.
Yeah.
Let these decisions happen between your doctors and your parents and your children. The federal government does not need to get involved in this conversation. This false narrative that's being pushed out there that if you don't support federal government mandating all vaccines for kids makes you an anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist is nonsense and bunk. And it bothers me that that they're jumping to that conclusion and that they're now tainting everybody who may not rethink that the federal government mandating things is such a good idea. Is now part of this crazy, wacky cult.
Yeah, and what the Kentucky governor did, and that's they're his children, and if that's what he wanted to do, not what I would do, but if that's what he wanted to do, then hey, man, they're his kids, right? And if his kids don't like it when they get older, they can tell it to his face.
Yep.
When that ends up happening. But I am in total agreement with everything that you just said, Drew.
Carlton, calling from Rockford. Good morning, Carlton.
Good morning. Hey, I was just calling to tell you that I would give anything if my parents had exposed me to the chicken pox when I was a kid instead of giving me the vaccine.
Yeah.
Because my vaccine failed when I was an adult, and it was awful.
Did you got chicken pox as an adult?
I got chicken pox as an adult.
What age?
The vaccine. I was 28.
Ooh. How bad was it?
It was terrible. I mean, it was literally one of the worst things. I haven't had a lot of terrible things happen. But this was awful.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
The worst thing is it caused me to miss the birth of my fourth child.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, I'll take the chicken pox party any day of the week over the vaccine.
Well, you should have been there because you had the opportunity to expose your child right out of the gate.
Yeah, I wish that dude had called me.
Expose your newborn. Terrible idea, John.
It's a mild disease.
Thanks for your call,
just
Carlton.
Get it. You don't have to worry about it. Just right there.
Give me a little one. That's a terrible, terrible idea, John. Not a newborn. I don't even have an immune system yet. Don't listen to John when it comes to anything.
That's just jokes. You can tell by my laughing.
Rhiannon, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. It's Rhiannon from New Prague. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling. I'm a medical assistant, and I've been one for 7 years. And we give a lot of vaccines at work. However, if you get the chickenpox vaccine, which is varicella, that is a completely different strain than the herpes simplex vaccine that we give for shingles. They are related, however, they're not the same.
Okay, so if
so
you...
It's still recommended that when you're older, you get the shingles vaccine. They have a new one called Shingrix, and it's been approved at starting at age 50 instead of 65, like the old shingles vaccine.
Okay.
And the new one is not live. It is it's a dormant vaccine, which the old shingles vaccine was live, just like the varicella vaccine is now currently live, which means you have to keep it in the freezer. And we have a diluent that we mix it with, and you have to wait a few minutes before you inject it into the kiddos. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to have a reaction and that they won't get chicken pox.
Sure.
It's based on how the child's immunity builds up over time to that vaccine. So even if that child gets that vaccine and they're still exposed to chicken pox within a few weeks or a few months, it's a very, very good chance that child will still get it.
Okay.
So it takes time for your body to build up those immunities to vaccines, and even getting them when we're younger doesn't mean we'll still have that immunity when we're older.
Question for you, Rhiannon. As a medical professional, what is your thought on intentionally exposing your kids to the chickenpox as opposed to getting the vaccine?
You know, if pros and cons, I mean, every parent is a little bit different. I remember back in the day they had the pox parties, but that was before they actually had the chicken pox vaccine. If you can take your child in, have them get the varicella vaccine, it's a lot better having them get one or two pokes in the leg versus actually getting that full-blown chicken pox, because it is painful and it's irritating and you can have scars and things like that. So, you know, pros and cons. I mean, as parents, you have to make those choices for you and your children, yourselves, and I don't think that we should be necessarily influencing other people to follow the way we believe.
Does where your work offer up tainted Tootsie Roll Pops, in case that people want that option?
Well, we do get suckers, and there are quite a few suckers where they're open, so you wonder.
How many licks does it take to get to the chicken pox center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
I think the owl said three.
Thanks for your call, Rhiannon. Good to hear from you.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good day.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6-5. Have you had chicken pox?
Yeah, I had them when I was a kid.
Yeah, Sam? Yeah.
I had chicken pox.
Yeah, yep. Chicken pox.
I don't remember the age. I was pretty young.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember just having those little spots. Yeah.
I vividly remember when I first started getting itchy from the chicken pox, because I was in church, and I remember sitting in church and just like trying to scratch myself on everything. It was terrible. I must have been like maybe 7.
Yeah, I think I was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I got it. I remember it was when we lived in Miami, so I know I was pretty young.
How about lice?
Never had lice. There was a lice scare at my school one year when I was in elementary school, and my mom took the precaution of shaving my head.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I never had lice.
I never grew back.
Thanks, Mom.
Did you? Now, luckily for me, lice don't like... they don't like dirty hair, and I never wash my hair, so I've always been safe.
Oh, yeah. You're so gross.
It's funny.
Oh, you're so gross. You are lice.
Yes.
It's funny the things that we remember, because I couldn't tell you what age it was, but I remember getting chickenpox, and I remember specifically I can remember the house. I remember the bathroom where I first discovered it, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences of a young child ever. Finding it just was. Like, it's the closest thing I can imagine to what it would have been like in Alien, like to know that your body's been invaded by these creatures. That was horrible.
I don't know. It doesn't really I've never had lice, so maybe I'd be super grossed out by it, but it's like, I mean, I deal with a lot of rescue animals, and a lot of times they'll come in with some kind of lice, and you just deal with it.
Yeah, but it's in your hair.
An outbreak at the farm?
Yeah. We haven't had an outbreak. Generally, I mean, if you're smart, you're going to keep them separate.
That's why we talked about it before. That's why I dyed my hair blue. It was a lice issue. It was to kill it. That's why I did that.
Was it really?
I know. No, actually, I did it later just to be cool when I was older.
How'd that work out for you?
You're so cool.
I don't know. You tell me.
651-989-5855 is the phone number, or you can use #250 and just say TCNT.
Some people think that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller is cool. So cool that they buy different items with his name and visage emblazoned on them, and they name their pets after
him. 11:30.
TMI edition of Justice and Drew this morning, along with Sam here on Twin Cities News Talk. So, what other diseases?
Are we oversharing?
What other diseases have you guys gotten over? Well, you know, I don't know if it's an overshare.
I had a staph infection when I was wrestling in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was really unpleasant.
Who stabbed you?
No.
Yeah. You got stabbed in high school?
No, one of the staff members gave him a disease.
No.
Weird. Oh,
no.
Oh. That's terrible.
No, you guys are completely misconstruing what I said.
Staff at your school are awful.
They were. Unrelated. to the staph infection I got from a wrestling opponent.
Did you already said you got an infection from the staph?
I know.
It's crazy.
I will say that I clearly took things way too literal as a kid, because as a kid too, I thought when I first heard staph infection that it was something that you got from faculty.
It should be renamed.
You're like, why are we around these people?
It's not the best name.
No. It's not. It really isn't. I remember my mom told me a story once when my brother got sick. I was really little, and I know that because my parents were still together at the time. But she talked about how my brother Jim got sick, and the story that she said, she's like, yeah, he walked out of the classroom, and there was just this cloud of germs, and he walked right into it, and he got sick. So for the longest time, I thought that could happen. Like, I would look around, I was looking for the cloud of germs floating around.
And now it's our producer.
I am the cloud of germs upon your life.
Yeah. If you want to get your children immune to anything, expose them to sand. Yes.
Take them out to the Sansevier Ranch.
I got you.
Daily Wire. Robert Mueller. Yes, the special prosecutor has Doing Nothing With My Fingers superfans. The Associated Press revealed in a detailed report that the anti-Trump resistance, which has been noticeably silent since the 2018 midterm elections, has turned Mueller into something of a folk hero and emblazoned his visage on everything from earrings to custom fabric made into purses, wallets, and makeup bags.
People are so sad.
It's so dumb.
People are so sad. The people that are doing this, they clearly have absolutely 100% bought into this notion that Robert Mueller is going to take down this presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And usher in what? Like the great golden age of the Democratic leadership?
Right.
You know, what do they think is going to happen, first of all? Second of all, how sad are they going to be when this report comes out and there is nothing there that gives anybody grounds for impeachment? They've built this up so much in their minds, they're just setting themselves up for an incredible letdown.
One superfan even named their dog Mueller. He gives me reassurance that not all is lost. Mueller's, the dog's owner, told the Associated Press, I admire his mystique. I admire that I haven't heard his voice. He is someone who can sift through all this mess and come up with a rationale that makes sense to everyone.
Why do you think that?
He hasn't done anything.
Why do you think that?
You don't even know what he sounds like.
You've made all that up in your mind.
Headcanon.
Yes, this is Mueller headcanon.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Mueller fan fiction. Yeah,
it just perpetuates like every facet of life.
Yeah.
This headcanon. And it really does speak to this rampant desire that people have to be able to look to something, right? And I'm going to generalize here. If this isn't you, again, not talking about you. But that being said, the people that go to this length, these lengths, the candles that fashion Robert Mueller into a Catholic saint, coffee mugs, baby onesies, necklaces, earrings, Christmas ornaments, stuffed toys. Look, man, these are not your saviors, right? And it tells you how they look at the presidency and how they should not look at the presidency the way that they do. They're putting way too much importance on the POTUS to the point where they have to find some other savior because they feel like the devil is in that position.
Yeah. Whoever is president, anybody, doesn't matter. Whoever is president should not impact you that much to where now you're buying Mueller-themed onesies for your babies. The hell kind of parent are you? I mean, unless they're, you know, smothered in chicken pox, I don't understand.
You know what? I bet if we did, that's funny. If you made a shirt,
the time release joke.
Yeah, I know. It kind of floated over to me like a cloud of, you know, infectious disease. I want to make a shirt and make a lot of money. I want to do like a Robert Mueller face, kind of like the Che Guevara one, mm-hmm. right? Something that's like silhouette-y. Right, you know, or maybe like the Hope one, like that famous artist that did the Obama Hope poster, right? Do that. You could sell a bunch of those. People just walk around like, I got my Mueller shirt on. Look at me. Rock one through the building here at iHeart.
Hashtag resistance.
Yeah, where'd you get that shirt from? Where'd you get that sweet Mueller face shirt? One artist even had a custom fabric printed with Robert Mueller's face, we were talking about, and then used the fabric to make custom makeup bags, tote bags, and purses so that resistance members can carry a little piece of Mueller around with them at all times.
I feel so sorry for these people.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I do. I feel sorry for their entire existence. When you've got that much wrapped up in the hopes that Robert Mueller is going to take down the president of the United States, that just makes me sad.
Yeah.
That's your life.
The headcanon of the majority, and again, if this isn't you, we're not talking about you, but the headcanon of the majority of the resistance movement, it's incredible mm-hmm. what people have created in their minds of what happened. The Daily Caller article goes on to say, if this all sounds creepy, it's because it is. It's a little bit ahead of the game, too. Of the 34 people questioned, 7 arrested, none of them, as we've said, have been taken in for the crime of collaborating with Russian officials to alter the outcome of the 2016 presidential election, the crime Mueller was tasked with uncovering when his probe began. This isn't get talked about very often, but the whole Cohen indictment and him being charged, Mueller pitched that off to that other court in New York. Like, Mueller discovered the evidence that he had broken the law, but even Mueller was like, yeah, this is not what we're doing. And he pitched it off to another court to deal with charging Cohen. I know the media keeps combining the two together, and I know that Mueller was the one who found out what Cohen did, but nobody wants to talk about the fact that Mueller didn't even move forward with it. He gave it to somebody else because it had nothing to do with Russian collusion.
Yep. Of all the crimes that the Russia collusion investigation have come up with, you've got things like perjury, tax fraud, IRS fraud, tax evasion. That's about it.
Right.
None of them have anything to do with Russia. It's just in the course of investigating Russia collusion, he's found out that, you know, Manafort didn't properly file his lobbying paperwork and that other people have committed perjury. Zero to do with Russia. Russia's got to be enjoying this to no end.
Right?
They have got to be loving this entire thing. This entire country has been politically thrown into a state of turmoil because of this fake idea of Trump Russia collusion. Russia's just got to be over there just laughing their butts off.
The media's perpetuation of the Trump Russia collusion narrative, along with the anonymous Twitter warriors and social media, have done more damage to the country and colluded with Russia than certainly we have any evidence that Trump ever did. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? If you want to go Trump meddling in the election, sure, prior, but when you look at everything that's happened since then, the amount of sort of in the public sphere damage because of the perpetuating of this is more evidence of collusion. The people on Twitter have colluded more. There's more evidence of people on Twitter using the hashtag TCNT, right, on Twitter. There's more evidence of them colluding with Russia than there is of President Donald Trump.
Yep. I got an idea, though.
Mm.
Let's just to show how shallow this whole hashtag resistance thing is, let's like make shirts with pictures of John Kerry on them and just put like hashtag Mueller. I guarantee people would buy them and walk around wearing
them. You're probably right. You're probably
not even realizing
that
wasn't Robert Mueller on their shirt.
651-989-5855. Coming up. Quick story here from Ocasio-Cortez. We talked about this and played the audio. Interesting correlation. I didn't realize the two went together. There was the story of the investigation into the potential FEC campaign finance law violations of AOC. I didn't realize this was actually tied to the Justice Democrats, which is the organization that actually sort of recruited her. Mm-hmm. She voluntarily, but they recruited her to get her to run for office. We're going to give you details on that, and then we'll turn our attention to a few local issues and the fate of the hands-free bill. Oddly, they're having some trouble getting that passed in the legislature.
But now it's time for your Minnesota moment with Minnesota's Mr. Right, Jason Lewis.
He's newstalk.com. It's an Instagram video, Twitter video, short clip of 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand. Welcome back to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. She's working out, and she's lying on a bench, and she's got some dumbbells in each arm, and she's doing some arm presses, and she's wearing this blue shirt. And says, what? It's a reference to the ranch. I'm just looking for some ranch, right? And she, I mean, she roundly got mocked because of how ridiculous, because it is ridiculous. It's that, you know, People Magazine, hey, they're just like us kind of thing. I get that people give Trump a hard time, and he deserves it a lot of the time. Before, for crying out loud, man, this is all just one big circus.
Do you know what the reference is to? Trying to get some ranch.
Yeah. It was when she went to the when she went to that restaurant.
Yeah, and there was some. She was speaking. She was like standing up on something, and she was speaking. And then there was someone who like was trying to slip by, and she was like, "Oh, hello, ma'am." And then the lady was like, I'm just trying to get some ranch.
Yeah.
I don't think you should back away from the bold ideas that the base and the grassroots care about.
I'm just trying to get some ranch.
Go ahead.
She's just trying to get some ranch.
I get that she's trying to own it on her shirt, but the reality is most rational people know that was just it was funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually even really a dig on her. No. It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, the lady just wanted some ranch. Yeah, she was interested.
Look, I got a t-shirt now. I just want some ranch.
I'm so cool.
Oh, I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out well for Dukakis when he got in that tank. I'm telling you that much. That and a Howard Dean.
Yeah, he should have got a shirt made with that.
All right. Out of Fox News, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez reportedly has been delisted from the board of a left-wing activist group, Justice Democrats. This was following legal and ethical questions about her affiliation with the group. Daily Caller reported that Ocasio-Cortez, along with the chief of staff and former campaign chair, and I think Sam's the only one that can actually go and pronounce this name. This is that...
Saikat Chakrabarty, I believe.
Saikat Chakrabarty. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
have nailed it last time when we had it in the five.
Your pinkies are in the ceiling when you say it like that.
So, they're actually stuck in the ceiling right now.
Chakrabarty.
All right, okay. I'm going to make it easier.
I just love that name.
For the sake of the story, it's Chaka Khan. So the former campaign chair, Chaka Khan, has been...
It's not even that. It's literally pronounced how it's spelled.
Yeah, Chaka Khan has been removed from the board of the Political Action Committee after previously holding legal control over the entity since late 2017 and early 2018. Okay. The Daily Caller reported earlier this month that Ocasio-Cortez and Chaka Khan's role with the PAC.
Chakrabarty.
Noting that the congresswoman never disclosed the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, that they had controlled the PAC while it was simultaneously supporting her primary campaign.
Yeah, these are like serious violations of campaign finance law. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of obscure, and convoluted aspects to campaign finance law. And I think, you know, any campaign would be hard pressed to not inadvertently break a law when it comes to this sort of thing. But this is pretty blatant. You know, if this is true, if these allegations are true, this is very blatant and very intentional and a very serious, possibly felony level violation of campaign finance law.
Yeah, Ocasio-Cortez and Chakrabarty were accused in an FEC via complaint violation campaign finance law by funneling, according to the complaint, nearly $1 million in contributions from PACs, including Justice Democrats, to private companies also controlled by Chakrabarty. Now, I didn't realize the correlation between the two. We played the audio, and this was going around last weekend, where there was this video that was put out by this organization, Justice Democrats. And what the video was basically a little expose of how they go and find individuals who are within the community, and they interview them. And if it turns out that that Justice Democrats feel that they would be viable candidates, they basically say, hey, look, we'll support you if you want to go and run for office. This is nothing new by any stretch. A lot of people took it to mean, oh, look, she's an actor. She was casted in this. It's like, no, if you've watched Parks and Rec, the same thing happened with Leslie Knope. There was a group of individuals that came in and said, hey, you know, we're a part of blah, blah, blah group, and we'd like you to run for city council.
Recruiting candidates is very common.
Right.
It's incredibly common. The major parties do it. Smaller parties have to do it to get people on the ballot. It's not the fact that Ocasio-Cortez may have been recruited by this Justice Democrats group is not even remotely a scandal.
Right.
Okay. I mean, because it is. It's incredibly common.
What's interesting to me is that this investigation of this potential of funneling the $1 million out of this Justice Democrats group, the same organization that recruited her, for lack of a better word, it kind of makes more sense now. If it turns out that it's true, it makes a heck of a lot more sense that this group went out there, sucked her in willingly. She was willing to go and run for office, right? She accepted their invitation, and then they basically turned her into a vampire. I mean, they sucked her into the fold, and I can't help but wonder if this is one of those situations where, if it turns out that this is true, this is not a pass on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but it is to say that, did they go, this is how it's done, don't worry about it, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, this funneling of the money, this is how we operate. Right. Don't sweat it.
I am prone to believe that if these allegations are true, that that AOC herself had no idea that this was probably, that either this was going on, or that if it was going on, that it was illegal. Like, she's young. She's never done this before. You know, she could have easily been conned into this scenario. The fact that, you know, this Justice Democrats group has booted her off of the board certainly lends, in my mind, some credence to the idea that these allegations have some merit.
Right. Yep.
Because, you know, part of later on in the story, as you mentioned, some of the money that was funneled through the PACs, you know, through this PAC that they were allegedly in charge of, and then into businesses and into other people's pockets, a good chunk of that money came from Justice Democrats.
Right.
You know, the group that recruited her and the group that urged her to run. So if they found out, but they got wind of this and they've decided that there is some merit to these allegations, then that could explain why they were delisted from the board.
I had a similar, I mentioned this before, but I had a similar circumstance when I first got into doing the real estate auctioneers when I was in Southern California. There was a benefit to holding off on sales. You had the individuals that purchased these homes that were going into foreclosure for resale. And depending on if it was the first or second mortgage that was getting auctioned off, you could get the house at a cheaper price and all this kind of stuff. There was a benefit if there were fewer people there to bid on these homes, take advantage of it. And my direct superior had told me, hey, you know what? Sometimes these guys will throw cash at you to delay a particular sale if it benefits them. Okay. Was super young at the time. Not an excuse, by the way. I was like, oh, really? Cool. It's like, yeah, you know, just keep it on the down low. Don't tell anybody, you know, and don't make it obvious. But, you know, they'll throw you some money. And if you just hold off and wait till the sale's all done, and then you conduct that sale for them and it benefits them. I'm like, oh, cool. Right. It was a rather lucrative side deal. I got pulled into the office by his boss one day. And she goes, so, you know, we've gotten word. And the boss liked me, the main boss. Mm-hmm. We got word that maybe there was some bribes going on of stalling, you know, foreclosure sales for the benefit of the buyers. And I just went, well, yeah. And I'll never forget the look on her face. Just this look of, did you just really admit to me that you're taking these bribes? And I was like, well, yeah, he said that they do it all the time. Now, I'm not saying Ocasio-Cortez was in this situation, but it gives you a good example, right? Mm-hmm. I should have known better. There's no doubt in my mind. I should have been smart enough to know I should not be taking money to do
you
this.
You were young and naive and a little gullible.
Yeah.
And you were told that this is the way that it's done, and it didn't occur to you to question it. That's
my honesty was proof of that.
It's not right, exactly.
Yeah, I kept my job. He didn't.
Yeah. I've been in similar situations where I thought that, you know, the way that things had been done were the way they should be done, and come to find out, you know, a couple of years later that, oh, no, you were doing it all wrong.
Right.
Yeah, and you actually might have broken the law.
651-989-5855.
Young and naive, and that's what I think AOC is.
Yes.
I think she's young and naive. I would be perfectly willing to believe that she was not privy to, or she was just ignorant of the fact that what they were doing was illegal and a campaign finance violation.
Well, in that video that we played the audio for last time, I don't think we still have
it's not
it
an excuse,
anymore. But yeah,
it shouldn't shield her from consequences.
The video is available if you scroll through, I think it was last week on the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. You can go and check it out. And again, this is in no way, shape, or form to give a free pass to how stupid Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is, but it is really, really insightful to see how manipulative organizations like this are, and they know they're taking advantage of this individual. They see something in them. They obviously see that they can make an impact, but they also know that there's a nefarious nature to what they're doing. And you watch that video with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and again, it doesn't offer sympathy. She's chose to do this, but clearly you can be like, man, this girl was so far out of her league.
Yes.
They're just about, you are being used as a pawn and you are going to willingly go along with it. And I think that speaks a lot to why she's been so dumb in public over a lot of these issues. Her favorable numbers are atrocious. I don't know if you've seen them, but
especially in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the Amazon deal fell through and she got blamed for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her unfavorable numbers by comparison, like Hillary and Trump are like more popular than she is.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really bad. Like de Blasio is more popular than she is in the area.
And chickenpox is more popular than Hillary.
Yes. Seriously. Right. No doubt about that at all. Given the choice, chicken pox or Hillary, I'll take chicken pox any day of the week.
The Kentucky governor didn't expose his 9 kids to Hillary. He exposed them to chicken pox. Just let that sink in.
From Channel 5, supporters of bills to require hands-free use of cell phones while driving started the Minnesota legislative session with a great deal of optimism. The new law would pass early in the session, but 2 months later, it's still not a done deal. Representative Frank Hornstein, DFL Minneapolis, said, "We know this bill saves lives. Stop. Just stop. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't know the bill. No, the bill's not. It's not Super Bill. Okay? The bill's not throwing itself in front of automobiles of people that are addicted and texting on their phone before they go crashing into somebody. Okay? We are determined to move this forward with the hands-free legislation this year." That's according to Republican Scott Newman. "I think it has come to be a universal danger to us on the highways." However, Newman's bill has some competition from the bill authored by fellow Republican Dave Osmek, who's been on the show talking about it. His bill would still allow talking on your phone with your hands, but calls for harsh new penalties if you cause an accident resulting in great bodily injury or death. It's fascinating watching this play out, because it looks like that Dave Osmek's bill, in the wake of the challenges to the actual hands-free bill, may still have quite a bit of life to it as a viable option for legislators to go and support. And I'm certainly in support of Dave Osmek's bill way before I'm in support of the other one.
Yeah, yeah. I think increased penalties and increased awareness is simply the way to go, rather than these outright bans, because there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of people every single day that manage to get by and use their phones while they're driving completely and utterly safely.
I have a quick question for you guys and for Twitter and the audience when we come back. And it actually involves, I forgot about it, but it relates to what we were talking about. It involves a situation of something that happened on the drive-in this morning. Okay, so we'll ask that question coming up. Plus, the story out of City Pages, Minnesota medical marijuana patients are at the mercy of a task force that never meets.
Oh, I love government.
This story.
I love government so much.
This story is...